Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. First of all, please accept my apologies for the late start tonight. Thank you for hanging in there with us. We had some soundboard problems. In a few minutes, I will be giving you two phone numbers, one that is worldwide, the other one that is for Canada and the United States, for you folks out there to call in tonight and make comment or ask questions of Cindy and Dennis Smith of Playing with Angels. Welcome, folks. This is exciting for me. I'm so glad you're here.
We're very excited to be with you.
We're having a good time.
Our subject tonight is the crystal skulls. A lot of you folks out there will have heard of Mac, the crystal skull, but there are many ancient skulls that are finding their way into the mainstream interest. Some I don't know all their names of, and Cindy and Dennis will help us with that. But Cindy and Dennis happen to have, as a skull that they worked with, one named Osh that is ancient, has some writings on his skull. They are gracious enough to let others sit with Osh and meditate with Osh and then hopefully discuss what Osh tells them, which I've had the pleasure of doing, and it's an exciting thing to do. So they're going to tell us not only about Osh tonight, but they're going to tell us about why skulls are suddenly making an important place in the metaphysical world these days. But first, tell us about you. How did you folks find your way to the metaphysical world? First of all, these folks are married, Cindy and Dennis Smith, been together a long time. But how did you find your way to crystals and books and being, I know Cindy does readings and that sort of thing. How did you find your way to metaphysical world?
We all, Dennis, myself, both of our children took a class called Silva Mind Method, and I actually began my journey as a result of taking that class. It caused me to develop an interest in tarot, and that got me started, and I think Dennis got pulled into it because I was interested.
Oh, actually, mine goes all the way back to when I was a baby in a crib. And I had an orb come to visit.
Had an orb come to visit?
Orb came to visit. It was above my crib, and it would move from the crib to the corner of the room. And it was making sounds and totally terrified my brother. He came in and read the Bible to chase it away, and it got to be funny.
You know, orbs are becoming a very big subject these days, too. I just went to a workshop this last weekend, and one of the presenters was about orbs, and they had pictures of hundreds of orbs in a frame. It was just amazing. So it's interesting that your introduction would have been an orb. Do you still see them?
Well, I've never been quite anything but orbital.
Since I know Cindy and Dennis, I can agree with that. Dennis and Cindy both are very knowledgeable. They carry a very unusual line. Cindy does most of the buying of jewelry and stones and a variety of sizes of the skulls out of a variety of stone of crystal. And I have one that's made of lava. And it's interesting to be in their booth because Dennis can, once he knows you a little bit, he can say, I have something for you. I brought something just for you, and it's exactly what you need in the way of a crystal, a rod or a simple stone or something like that. So they're both very in tune with what people need. And, of course, Cindy, you can say, Cindy, I need something for, and she says, oh, over here. So, and then we'll let you select or else she'll just hand something to you and say, this one will work for you. So that's very, very psychic, but yet I don't hear you folks say that very much about yourselves as being psychic, but I call you that. So, were you aware of the history of skulls, such as Max, before they began to filter into your life, before Osh arrived?
I really was not aware of the legend of the 13 ancient crystal skulls. I knew that other people had an interest in them, and I was quite the opposite, had no interest in them, had no desire to work with them before I got smacked by them.
How did you get smacked?
One of the shows that we did was a large show, very large show in Kansas City, and clients there were begging us to please add skulls to the line of product that we brought so that they would be able to purchase skulls and work with skulls in class. And after about 2 years of ignoring them, we contacted our supplier and told him that next time we came for a buying appointment, we needed to purchase skulls also. When we went to that appointment, there was a skull on the shelf that instantly drew both of us in, and we were hooked from that moment forward.
Was that Osh?
It was a beautiful smoky quartz skull. It's an exquisite piece of smoky quartz, and it was quite a bit more than I had ever in any intention of paying for a stone, but it was the perfect piece to begin with, the perfect piece to begin our process. And after that, we became aware of the legend of the 13 ancient crystal skulls and really moved further along our path there.
Where? How many of the ancient skulls are out there? Max, obviously, and Osh. But how many more are there in the general population? Do you know? Do you know?
Well, I don't think anyone really knows the total answer to that. Legend has it that there are 13 ancient skulls. Now, define ancient, I don't know. They're discovering several more in Mexico and Central America and some in South America that are very, very, very old. So I don't know if they were copies or they could just be like the first radio was huge, the communication device, and now we've got them down to little bitty transistor radios. So as the carving continues, the items change.
There are many out there that are old, many that are believed to be ancient, some of which are, some of which aren't. But I believe of all of the ancient skulls out there, in the end, there will be 13 that are unique, that carry out a special role in this process. There may be hundreds, possibly, of ancient skulls out there, but 13 that will have a special role to play.
Is it true that they can tell the difference by examining them for the carving techniques?
Sometimes they are able to determine, for example, the Mitchell Hedges skull that lived for quite a time in Canada with the lady there who found him. He was carved against the grain. He was carved in a way so that he should have shattered. That piece should have never remained intact. They look for tool marks to see if that can tell them something about the carving. There is no way to carbon date stone, so they can't actually test it to determine its age because all stones are old. They grew in the ground, so they've been here for a very long time. But they do have different things that they look for. In Osh, one of the things they would look for there was all of the debris that was still on him having come out of the ground. And, for example, Shauna Ra, the ancient skull that resides in California, the person who found Shauna Ra did not ever clean that piece of quartz when he found it. He left it exactly as it came out of the ground.
Why did he do that?
He felt that it was part of that skull's energy, part of that skull's process, to leave it exactly as he found it when he found it in the ground.
How far down did he, what was he doing that he found it in the ground?
He, as a young person, used to dream about a crystal skull, and as he got older, the dreams became more intense and more directed. And he was directed to a place in Mexico, and he hired a crew and started digging in the area, and in short order, he found Shauna Ra.
What does that mean, do you know, that name?
I did not ever think to ask anyone what that name meant to him. Nick is no longer living. Upon his death, he passed the Shauna Ra to his spouse, and his spouse has arranged for a friend of the family to escort the skull, or to take it, in other words, to take it out in the world to different shows to meet with people so that people can meet the skull, sit with the skull. But it never occurred to me to ask anyone what that name meant to him.
Okay. How are the skulls, such as Max, different different from the carved skulls that we know are created in today's world and time? How are they different besides the carving method? Because I can look at Osh, and I don't see the carving marks, the holding marks on Osh that I see on the ones that are carved today.
In my opinion, a lot of the older skulls, a lot of the ancient skulls, I think are, in most cases, better carvings. Not always, but I think that often they are better carvings. And newer carvings are getting better. The artists are doing a lot better than they did for a time. But some of them can still be awkward. Even the later carvings that we see now, they're still, to me, awkward. You can tell that the artist struggled in some of the newer carvings. And you're right, the older carvings, some of them, such as Asha's carving, they're such precision work. To me, it's an awesome piece of art by itself.
And Hopi Shaman examined the Osh and went into kind of a trance and was interpreting, and he said that Osh was not carved by a carver. Now, the shaman in question is a carver himself, as well as a college professor, a very knowledgeable fellow. And he said that it was not carved by a carver, but carved by a magician or a priest, which I found pretty interesting.
Yeah, that would have been done with what I would imagine is hand lasers. Have you ever seen that work done or heard about it?
He was intimating it was magically done.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've routinely seen them cut by laser, but only in my mind have I seen them that way. And when I've asked others about them being carved now by laser, I guess that doesn't exist yet.
Yes, it probably does, but not here on Earth. Somewhere.
Exactly.
Remember the orbital comment a while ago?
Yes, exactly.
This is Elaine Ireland. You're going global for spirit. With Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com. Tonight our guest is Cindy and Dennis Smith of Playing with Angels. We're talking about skulls, crystal skulls. I don't know how to ask this question. We know that who Osh is. Osh is in that skull. We know that Max has a name. I don't want to be presumptuous, but I'm assuming that that Max came with a spirit. Which comes first, the spirit or the crystal skull, and how do they find each other, do you think? I know there's probably no set answer for that, but what is your opinion of that? Because spirits, as a whole, they don't need a skull to work through. They can be any shape. Why would they take on a skull? Why would they house themselves in a skull?
What is a skull but a symbol of communication? If you had a table laying there with transistors laying all over it, you don't get very many messages. When you assemble those into a radio, it becomes a communication device. I think the mere effect of carving the stone into that shape helps with the communication.
I think that the spirit is within the stone. I think it chooses to enter the stone for a reason, to work with us in a unique way, and frequently will choose not to reveal itself to anyone until the person comes along that it wants to work with. I had a skull one time that I liked a great deal. I really, really wanted this skull to be with me for a while, and I couldn't activate it. I couldn't get it to turn on, if you will. And so one day I asked it to show me its power, show me what was within it, and it almost knocked me to the ground and then went silent again, and I ended up having to let it move along to someone else. I've had one on the table that I was beginning to question why we had purchased it. It didn't seem to belong to anyone, and its person came along. It came on to such a degree that I had to move away from it. It was so powerfully interactive with the person that it chose to be with that I needed to move away from that area. It so that the spirit, I believe, chooses to go into that stone, into that piece, knowing that its person will be drawn to it. They will connect and they will work together.
Sooner or later.
Yes.
So I almost want to say, why is that important and why now? Why now at this time when everything is, well, just in the last 10 years, the metaphysical world has just exploded. But why now crystal skulls? Is it just because it's a new trick? Is it because it's just something different? Or is there a different significance for the skull itself that all of a sudden there would be such an interest and such, actually, a need? I've heard of people going into debt to buy these things and working with them, not just having them on a shelf, but actually working with them, doing healing work and that sort of thing. Why now?
You ask if it were a new thing. Bear in mind that some of them are so ancient that they have no concept of when they were carved. People that work with them say, this thing was here since time immemorial, or it's been on Earth this time for 40,000 years. Osh, for instance, the writing you mentioned on top,
mm-hmm.
is so old they took it to Berkeley's Ancient Asian Language Department, and they have no concept of what language it is, let alone what it says.
I believe that the process that you're talking about the explosion and growth within the so-called New Age or metaphysical field, is not by accident. I believe that we began to wake up at a certain point, mankind in general, and to move along a path that would cause our growth, would cause us to expand mentally, physically, emotionally, and at some point then the energy of skulls became more relevant, more present in our lives. I believe that skulls are here to actually accelerate our growth process, and their sudden increase in activity, which we have personally noticed almost at an explosive rate in the last 6 weeks. I believe that is occurring as we lead up to December 21st, 2012.
Explain that, sweetie.
It is my belief. I believe basically the same thing that Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus both believed, that what happens on December 21st, 2012 will be based entirely on how mankind has grown, how we have evolved. As most of your listening audience is aware, the Mayan calendar ends on December 21st, 2012. And there are a lot of other synchronistic things that are happening in the world around us in that same time frame. For example, the next big onset of sunspots will occur in 2012. There is also a very unique planetary alignment in 2012. There are prophecies about what will take place with the world in that time frame. Edgar Cayce, Nostradamus, and myself, we believe that if mankind has grown, has evolved to the point necessary that December 22nd, December 23rd, 2012, we will all be living here happily, comfortably, prospering, doing well. Earth will be in good shape. We will be in good shape. And I believe that has everything to do with the sudden explosion in the awareness of and the interest in skulls.
What is different about the skulls that inhabit, so to speak, the spirit that inhabits skulls from your other types of, say, orbs or other types of spirits? What makes that spirit different in its responsibility?
What I have noticed, what I have observed, for example, if I put a natural crystal point beside a crystal ball, beside a crystal skull, when I work with the crystal skull, they interact with me more, they communicate with me more. It's more like having my best friend along with me. There's much more interaction, much more communication. There's a dramatic difference. I can't say that I fully understand the reason for that. I will tell you that I believe that the skull itself was chosen because we believe that's the part of the body that contains the mind, contains the knowledge, the awareness. So they were somehow they're somehow electrically different in a way that allows them to communicate with us more, interact with us more. Again, I don't fully understand that difference, but I have experienced it, dramatically experienced it in my life.
I have two since I have the skull. It's amazing to work with.
Yes, it is.
To work with just a cluster, and I don't mean to be disrespectful by saying just a cluster. Cluster or single stones are extremely important in what we do. But there is something very different about working with a skull, regardless of its size. For you folks out there that have not seen a variety of sizes, some of them are as tiny as your thumbnail. I have one that's tiny, tiny, tiny. That was a gift from a friend. All the way through the size of a half dollar, quarter, all the way up to almost human-sized skulls. I don't have that one, but I don't have one that size. But I've seen some. If you look at Osh, that's almost a human-sized head. So, and Max is quite large. So, it's amazing to sit with them and feel their energy, and the visions that they give you are so clear. Now,
yes.
I've worked with real stones, as you have too, with other crystal stones, and I'm sure you've gotten the same experience, but there's just something different about the crystals. I don't know whether it's a combination of the amount of crystal, the kind of crystal that you're holding, and the spirit that works with it, and that the size has something to do with it, and the density. A lot of these crystals, they're solid, so they're heavy. The density of them is just amazing. That's a lot of power, just in stone power alone. To say nothing of the spirit that rests there.
You are correct, but as you spoke of earlier, it most of us have experienced the sensation that a spirit, a presence, chose to embody itself within this crystal carving, within the skull carving, to wake us up, to work with us, to stimulate us, to provoke us to evolve, to provoke us to grow, to provoke us to use that inner wisdom that we toy with, that we play with. There is a difference, and again, I don't know that I consciously understand it, but I have certainly consciously experienced it.
Most crystals, in my opinion, have a direction, a purpose, and they enhance your energy and your ability to accomplish those purposes. Skulls, on the other hand, are a communication device. Therefore, the messaging comes with them, comes through them, and you can ask them questions, you could receive answers. They help you. Those that are not psychically attuned on the conscious level can sleep with them. It brings things to their subconscious mind that comes forward in the form of dreams and other education things that just amazes people. We were doing a show in Kansas City not long ago. A gentleman came up and took a hold of a certain skull. I even had my back to the table. I had to turn around. The hair was standing up on the back of my neck, on my arms. Mm-hmm. He's standing there almost trance-like. He had woken that one up. Cindy was talking about it was just sitting there behaving itself, and here he came. And you almost wanted to say, you've turned the volume up too loud on that. It's hurting my ears. Back off on that woofer.
And the three of us have seen someone connect with a crystal skull just in that moment of meeting, that producing enough of an electrical charge to turn off lights. I have seen them turn on lights. I knew of a friend who was sleeping with one in one hand, one in the other, and they arced an electrical arc between them. How do you explain that? I lack the ability to explain that currently, but I have witnessed it.
Well, and with my collection, there are some that I can work with in a pair, and others that don't want to be worked with, like they pair up in their own right.
And
if you have
talking about, there are some that like to work with you in a sleep setting where
uh-huh.
you sleep and they work either with your body or they work with your consciousness or all of the above. And then there are some that I will not sleep with because I'm not going to get any sleep with them.
I understand. I understand. Cindy and Dennis are for you folks out there, they're gracious enough to let you take a crystal home, not just a skull, but even if it's just a simple little crystal, you can bring it home on a Saturday night and kind of figure out if it's meant for you or not, and then bring it back on Sunday. And speaking, of course, at the psychic fairs, and I've been fortunate enough for them to allow me to do that. And there have been times when I've taken a crystal back and said, this one's not mine. I was attracted to it. It was attracted to me, but it's not mine. I have to bring it back. So she's right about the not sleeping. There's, I have a group of crystals, and there are some that I will work with in a meditation state, but I won't bring them to bed with me to sleep. And there are others that there are two in particular that's the only time that they do their work with me is when I'm asleep. So you have to work with them to figure out how they're going to work with you.
Right. Right.
And do you hear? I'm sorry, go ahead.
We are all people, and we all sing, we all dance, we all drive, but we all do that very differently, and some of us do it a lot better than others. Skulls have their own personality. Some are there more about physical healing. I do believe that each one affects our consciousness, even though we may have more awareness of its work on our physical body than we do of its work on our consciousness. I believe that they all work to facilitate and escalate our growth.
That's a lot to say, Cindy. Just the escalating our growth alone. And what Dennis said about them being a communicator, a source of communication, like a radio, that's probably the best explanation I've heard about why it's so much easier to work with a skull than say, a cluster or even a heart shape or anything else. Shapes are important to us. When I say heart shape, the octagon ones, Dennis put a crystal in my hand years ago, about the size of my palm, and it's a clear crystal quartz, but because of the way it's cut, it's like a hexagon, and it's got two points, one on either side. It's a very powerful system because of the way it's cut, in addition to what it's made out of. And
you
that's
one
correct. I... Yeah.
Skull
and that's
are,
one...
Excuse me. Spheres
I'm sorry.
Spheres emit energy on a 360-degree plane. Points emit energy in that single focus. And skulls, their electrical pattern is unique. And he's exactly right. They are very much like a radio.
I sure like hearing what they have to say.
Well, they have their own opinion sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to hear what they have to say, but we better be listening.
That's true. Do you hear a common thread of need or interest from the general public these days when it comes to crystals in general, working stones, not just
as
skulls?
As Cindy has said, the last 6 weeks, you know, everyone's harping on how the economy is and yada, 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 and we have had the most magnificent events in 6, 7, 8 weeks now with skulls that we've ever had.
In 22 years of business, we've not ever experienced anything like the interest in skulls that we have seen in the last 6 to 7 weeks. And people are talking about, prior to this, there was a lot of talk about stress and dealing with negativity within an environment. And suddenly, it's almost as if suddenly they have switched to say, I'm ready to listen, I'm ready to receive, I'm ready to, people are saying, I'm ready to be in touch with my role and to work in my role in this life.
Do you think it's necessary to have more than one or two skulls, or are we just, like, that's kind of a silly question, I know the answer to that, but I bet other people have thought about it. If you have one good skull or one good crystal, is that all you need?
Well, let me answer it this way. If you have a very good car in the garage, it gets you from point A to point B, but one day someone rides past you in a fast little red convertible and you say, ooh, I want one of those.
That's not fair, Dennis. That's not fair.
The skulls have told me that when the 13 ancient skulls begin to speak, that their messages, their information will go from them into the skulls that are in our homes and then down the line, down the line, down the line. Well, from that perspective, to have one skull is certainly giving you an advantage over those who have none. Now, also, I have learned that the skulls together create unique vibrations or unique energies. When more than one skull is brought together, they create a different energy pattern or a different harmony, if you will. And from that perspective, I found it very advantageous to have more than one to work with.
Mine pair up.
Well, I can give you an example. We're sitting in Cindy's office. She has a twin desk, a partner's desk, and there must be close to 1,000 choice crystals on this desk. And yet Osh, the skull, the ancient skull, requested that she bring another skull in here with him and named which one he wanted to set with.
They pair up.
They do pair up, and they seem to have, just as we do, they seem to have their preferences in who they work with, how they pair up. It is interesting to watch.
I learned that early on. Mm-hmm.
It's like different programs are in some of them, because you can work with one and get this kind of information, work with another and receive a different set of information.
Where will you folks be? I know you're going to be here in August at the Radisson Hotel, August the 9th and 10th, at the Metaphysical Fair here. But in the meantime, where else will you be?
This weekend we will be in Oklahoma City at the Four Point Sheraton. May 17th and 18th we'll be in Nashville. May 24th we will be in Wichita Falls, Texas. June 14th, 15th we will be in Tulsa. How far out would you like me to give you information?
Stop in August.
In July we will be in Oklahoma City again on the 12th and 13th of July, the 19th and 20th, we're in Springfield, Missouri. 25th through 27th, we're in Wichita, Kansas. That particular show is held in an Indian kiva in the Indian Center. It's wonderful energy. First weekend of August, we're in Kansas City, Kansas, and the second weekend in Austin.
If you'll send me that, if you'll just handwrite it, because I know your computer, your site is not up the way you want it to be. If you'll send me that schedule, I'll put it on both the BBS schedule for tonight as well as my website. I'll put them there. And we're going to make an unusual request to a methodology to get a hold of Cindy and Dennis. We're going to ask you to call me first and give me or email me at Elaine@ElaineIrelandPsychic.com, my website. If you'll send me your information, phone number, website, whatever you would like, email, I will pass that on to Cindy and Dennis, simply because their website is not down and they're not going to be around very much to receive phone calls. So being on the road a lot, that will be the easiest way. I'll either see them at Psy Fairs or I'll know where they are, and I'll be glad to pass on your phone numbers or your questions to them for you. I know that's a little unusual, but that's just the most comfortable way to do that. Folks, this is Elaine Ireland. You've been going global for spirit with me, Elaine Ireland. Let me give you some phone numbers. Worldwide, if you would like to call in and ask or comment, area code 877-489-6350. United States and Canada, you share a line, 1-888-228-4494. Catch these folks while we have them on the phone. They're busy, busy people. So if you have questions about skulls or you have comments about skulls or want to share an experience with us, please call in. If all of the skulls, the 13 ancient skulls that we know of, and I'm with you, I think there are many, many more. But when we think of the ancient skulls and let's call it magical 13, what do you think would happen if they all got together in one place? I understand just having one of those, Osh's energy is phenomenal. I understand Max just fills up the entire area that he's in. So what do you think would happen if we got all 13 in one space?
One word, magic.
Thank you. It's a good word.
I think that it would change the electrical energies in that area and within all of the people who were present, and I think that would have a rippling effect out from that area, especially to enhance the awareness of those who choose to be aware and to enhance the growth of those who choose to grow.
You just said an interesting word, who choose to grow. Do you think with this kind of energy there would be much choice in whether we would want to or not? Do you think it would almost be so powerful that we wouldn't have a choice?
The choice is to be exposed to and enjoy it.
Or do you allow it to drag you around because you are resisting it? We've probably all been whacked in the face or on the behind by karma at one point or another, by spirit. And when we choose to close our eyes, our minds, our ears to growth, that's when spirit wakes us up.
And not always very pleasantly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you a relative example. I swim like a lead balloon,
uh-huh,
or a lead rock, or a lead anything, and yet I have completely circled the world by water. I've been in a typhoon. I've had ships that blew up under me and so forth, and I wasn't afraid of any of that or the water because I was prepared for the experience.
So prepare yourself, world, because it's coming.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. What do you see your future relationships with both the ancient and the newly formed skulls to be?
I believe that, as strange as it may sound to some, I believe that Osh will continue to pull people, tools, classes, teachers onto our path, continue to connect us with circumstances and events that will allow us to be better able to teach, to serve when we are out in the world meeting with the public. I believe that all that is necessary for our expanded growth, for our expanded process, will be brought to us so that we can continue to do what is necessary to help those who are out there searching for the right path, for the right step, for the right process, for the right tool.
Are the two of you, are one or both of you going to be doing presentations at the fairs that we've listed?
Yes, Cindy will. She
Cindy
interprets
will.
Through him, and he also has another program where he talks about why the ancient skulls are and so forth.
Okay, so
actually had me contact one of the promoters and get himself put on the lecture schedule. He wanted to speak about, he specifically wanted to speak on, so what's the deal with the skulls? So he now has two presentations where people ask questions of him and he answers through me. The other presentation that he does is questions and answers, general questions, and for that purpose they're not really about individuals and their lives. They're more about the mysteries of Earth, the mysteries of the world, the mysteries of our lives here. And it's a very interesting process when the public understands what we're doing. There are seemingly no limits to what he can and will answer, and it's very fun.
So, and most fairs, at most fairs, you pay to get in the store, and then the lectures and so forth are free. So, folks out there, if they're going to be in your city, this is a wonderful way of going. You can go to classes all day long, usually starting about an hour after the door opens, and you can sit in classes all day. They're usually an hour, hour and a half, and this is one that because of the explosion of the interest in skulls, this is a wonderful way to learn about them, meet Osh, meet Cindy and Dennis, and pick their brains as well as Osh's brain. And if you're lucky enough, they might permit you to sit with Osh if there is time and it's appropriate. So, but at least you will get to meet Osh, so to speak. Where can the public find more information about skulls besides the website? What books do you carry about the skulls?
There are not a lot of books about skulls yet. Van Etten has one called Crystal Skulls. His website is Lemurantis, LEMURANTIS.com. He's associated with the Crystal Skull Conference in Angel Valley. That will take place September 26th through the 29th. And that website is angelvalley.org. There's another book called The Mystery of the Crystal Skull, written by investigative reporters trying to resolve all of the questions about skulls. There is a book and card set called The Divine Spark of Creation by Kathleen Murray. Of course, we've got the Indiana Jones movie coming out May 22nd that we're all curious to see. And because of the movie and the increased interest in skulls, there will be some kind of special on the Sci-Fi Channel on May 18th and on the History Channel on May 19th. There is also a fabulous website that you should check on. It's Serasum-Institute, spelled INSTITUTE.DE. It's a German spelling of the word institute, so there's no E on the end. Serasum dash.
Okay. What was the first word?
Serasum, like the angel, S-E-R-A-P-H-I-M. Serasum dash institute, INSTITUTE.DE.
All right.
Because it's a German website, you click on English. Page down to where it says where Corazon Deleuze meets Mitchell Hedges, and it's awesome.
You were asking about the energies they produce. This is photographs of the energy movement between them, and in one of the series of photos, the Mitchell Hedges skull actually vanishes.
Oh, how exciting.
And then reappears later.
Is there a lab? Obviously, there's a lab somewhere where people are doing research with are there colleges, are they, what kind of institutes?
I'm sure there are, and I don't have that information, but in the book Mystery of the Crystal Skulls, they show there are photographs from when the Mitchell Hedges skull was taken into a lab somewhere to be tested. They were trying to find out everything they could about it, and that's one of the during that process, that's when they discovered that the skull was carved against the grain of the quartz. But there is a picture in that book. During the course of testing the Mitchell Hedges, it disappeared. And it disappears also on this website that we just gave you.
This is all just so fascinating to me.
Because they say that the only way something can truly disappear right before your eyes is to go into another dimension, which is a whole other thing.
Whole nother show.
Several.
Yeah, several. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland. This is Cindy and Dennis Smith. We've been talking about crystals, crystal skulls in particular. We have a little bit more time, so if you are in the United States and Canada, you can call in, ask questions, make comments, 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. Cindy and Dennis Smith, Angels at Play, and they're going to send me the schedule, right, and I'll put it on my website so people can figure out where you're going to be.
Yes,
and,
we will do that, and as soon as our website is up and functional again, we will pass that along to you as well.
Yes, and I can fix up get Pam to fix up a link so they can just go right straight to your website so they can learn more about you and your work. And Cindy, are you still doing readings?
I do as many readings as I can fit into my schedule. Yes, not at fairs anymore, but private readings.
Okay. And like I said, folks, if you want to get in touch with them, please call me first or send me at area code 512. 972-472-4723 or Elaine Ireland at ElaineIrelandPsychic.com, and I will get your information to Cindy and Dennis to contact you. I know that's a little different than what we usually do, but it's necessary at this point because of their schedule and travel and so forth. How long have you had Osh now in your company?
Right at 3 years.
Okay. And you're still working with him in terms of your own growth and passing on messages and that sort of thing. So he's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's going to stay with you for a long time, right?
I certainly hope so. Osh makes up his mind about much of that, and I hope that he will be with us for a long time to come. We do what we can to make him available to the public, to those who need to work with him. It isn't always possible, but he enjoys the interaction with people, and I enjoy watching it.
He gets almost giddy at times.
Yes.
His energy just gets silly and giddy at times, but I love to be around him. Yeah. What else would you like to share with us about skulls in general or Osh in particular?
I see them as possibly the best tool available for growth, for our growth, and there are more tools out there than I can count, but I still say that I see them as possibly the best tool out there for our growth. I think that sometimes we might imagine that we are hearing them, imagine that they are communicating with us, but as long as we listen and pay attention, we will have some kind of confirmation in our day-to-day life that that communication did take place, that it is valid. We will be asked in the beginning to work on faith with them, and that is correct because to work with our intuition, we must work on faith. And as we work with them, as we honor the process of faith, we begin to understand how our intuition works and how skulls are working with us, how they are facilitating our growth. Their ability to work with us, to communicate with us, to facilitate our growth process is limited only by our ability to believe and understand.
And I want to remind the public that it has nothing to do with the size of the skull. I have
that's
one that's
correct.
Called little, that I call little man, that literally jumped in my hand. I don't remember picking him up, and when I realized I had something in my hand, I went over to Dennis and I said, I think I'm supposed to get this one. And I call him little, and he's just so powerful. I can carry him around all day, and it's like I carry on a conversation with him. And he's just like the size of a quarter. I mean, so
Cindy had that one that was about small enough to fit in the palm of her hand, who told her his name was Mighty Mouse.
Yeah. I can understand that.
You want me to call him Mouse, however.
Mouse. Well, this one I just call Little Man because he's little and he's aggressive in his thoughts, but the point being, it doesn't have to be a human sized skull to get good solid information. And
you are correct. The
and to learn
that they carry seems to be in all of them, regardless of size.
They're amazing. Every one that I have is amazing, and I have some small ones. I have more small ones than I have. And I have big ones than the big council, and they do their own little thing. And when they want, thank you, honey. When they want attention, they let me know. Steph just whispered sweet nothings in my ear. That means we're going to have to say thank you to Cindy and Dennis Smith of Angels at Play, and Osh, because I sense Osh was hanging with us tonight.
Absolutely,
so,
he was part of our process, and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for being with me. I appreciate you both taking the time. Safe travels. I look forward to seeing you again. And when you're ready to talk about some more changes and growth on the skull level, or anything else that you've got going with your business or your life, please, by all means, tell me and we'll do another show.
Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you. Good night. And folks out there, thank you for being with me. See you next week with Kramer Wetzel. Tomorrow. We are changing our time officially tomorrow to Station 1 at 9 o'clock on Thursdays from now on, and Kramer will be with us. I look forward to seeing you then. Meanwhile, folks, safe travels, and see you in August, if not before. And, world, don't forget to share a smile. Night, everybody.